drawing room over here.
Oh, hey, come on in. Some bands come to fame quickly. Others build up an audience over years of critically acclaimed albums and relentless touring. Future Islands managed to take both routes when they blew up after an appearance on The Letterman Show, four albums and hundreds of gigs into the band's life. Their latest album, The Far Field, continues the band's much-loved sound, but with a few new bells and whistles like guest vocalist Debbie Harry. I kid you not. William Cashin is the band's bassist and he's my guest in the drawing room. William, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Were you guys ready for the change that happened after you appeared on TV around singles? Is it possible to kind of prepare for that level of success?
We didn't really think that it would. When going into it, we didn't think it was going to have the effect that it did. We thought it would be a fun thing to do for our friends and family and our fans. But TV generally, like TV performances generally don't have the impact that they did in the 70s or 80s or even the 90s, you know, just, and we did that performance and we immediately went on tour. We toured down to South by Southwest. And then from there, we just kept touring for about 2 years right after that performance. So I think it took us taking the break from the road to kind of really realize the way that video has made its rounds on the internet. And it's I think it's still out there working now. Like, new people are
finding
it.
It's doing work for you right now, isn't it?
It's crazy. Yeah, but it definitely opened so many doors that we didn't think would happen. For example, there were lots of festivals that had turned us down that after that performance, they all came back and wanted us to play at the festivals, and which we were happy to be asked to play because we wanted to play in the first place. So
was there a part of you that was like wanting, if you didn't want it so much, to go, really, you want me now?
Of course. Yeah, sure. But yeah, I think, I mean, it helped us reach a much larger audience. And I think from that point of that performance, I think, well, hopefully people have gone and found the body of work that we've created over the past 12 years as Future Islands, and hopefully they've, you know, from singles and the song Seasons gone, and, you know, found our other albums and 7 Inches and the songs that
that's the beauty of discovering a band late, though, isn't it? Because you don't have to wait.
Yeah, I love that. You don't have to wait, like, you know, you don't have to wait for the next record.
You can look back, not forward.
Yeah, look back there. Yeah, we pride ourselves on putting out a good amount of work over the years. So hopefully there's a lot for people to dig into.
Have you had that experience as a fan yourself?
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, even when one of my first biggest music obsessions was the Smashing Pumpkins, and they, you know, their Melancholy record was the reason that I started playing music in the first place. And they always put out so many singles with so many, there was so much to discover with them. They, you know, they had the Airplane Flies High box set, which was, I think it was like more songs that were on Melancholy were B-sides for that record. You know, like they took the time to really put out a ton of B-sides. And then, you know, The Cure, same way, like they put out a ton of stuff that's non-album tracks. And it was fun trying to, you know, find those rare Japanese CDs or the rare UK import 7-inch that had like the one song that you couldn't hear anywhere else. And that's the sad thing, I feel like, with streaming and everything being digital, is that that hunt and that discovery is not as
tangible.
It's just different now. Yeah. And so with some of our 7-inches, we've made a point to keep those songs off of digital distribution,
just to give people the sense of the hunt.
To continue that tradition of, you know, we have these hidden songs that are out there, and if you find them, then you'll hear these songs that didn't make the record.
You used to book all the band shows, I've heard. Was it a relief to hand that over to someone else?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I booked our first band, Art Lord and the Self-Portraits and Future Islands. I did all the booking for about 7 years, which was pretty much just sending emails or writing people on MySpace back when there was MySpace.
MySpace.
And sometimes even just, you know, actually mailing a demo. We started touring and stuff, I would actually send CD demos to people and give them phone calls, and yeah, it's crazy. But it was a lot of work, and I was always too shy to ask for guarantees, so it was always just a door deal and whatever we could get from the door, which was, you know, oftentimes like $50 to $100, and that would be enough to feed us and put gas in the car and get us to the next.
Have you stopped being so shy? Are you more bolshy now?
I think I'm still just as shy, but our booking agent isn't as shy, so that's good.
So if you were still in charge, you'd still be getting ripped off?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe I've learned. Maybe I've learned since then. But yeah.
I know that you used to make a point of playing cities where bands tend not to go. Is that still part of the process for you?
We try to, yeah. We love going to new places, and all of us are from small towns that nobody really, no bands ever really came through. I mean, the closest, you know, I grew up just outside of Raleigh, North Carolina, so like a 20-minute drive. So, and most bands came to Chapel Hill, which is about an hour drive for me. But for Sam and Garrett, they grew up on the coast of North Carolina, so they had to drive about 3 or 4 hours for any, pretty much any concerts that would come through. And, you know, when bands would come close to where we lived, it meant a lot more to us. You know, seeing that these bands would come to Raleigh instead of Chapel Hill, for example.
You were like, they've made some effort.
Yeah, like, it's just, it was the less hip of the cities in that area, and at the time, at least. And so, yeah, I think it means a lot more to go to a city. It means a lot more to the people in the city when you go to a place that's kind of more off the beaten path than if you go to, you know, New York City or Sydney or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Future Islands has a real synth pop sound, but your side projects have been more on the ambient, you know, and ska side of things. What do you tend to listen to yourself?
I listen to a ton of instrumental music lately. When I'm especially on tour, I listen to
like 10-minute sort of tracks.
Yeah, I think because of all the travel, it just helps me kind of. It's to relax my mind. I think when there's vocals, the chance of the vocals totally ruining the music for me is very high. And not just because it creates like a focal point. It creates this, and they direct where your mind should go, or at least I like the ambiguity of instrumental music and just letting it kind of wash over me. You know, I don't know, but yeah. So I have a side project, Peels, that kind of explores those kind of atmospheres and textures. And then me and Sam have a goofy side project called the Snails, where we dress up as snails.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We wear these homemade snail heads made of fabric with a cotton stuffing, and we fill trash bags with balloons. Those are our shells. We tape them to our backs, and then at just the right moment during the live show, we rip the shells off and open the balloons over the audience. So it's a total, complete party band.
I love this.
Yeah, we have a saxophone player.
Are you in your complete element when you're a snail?
The snails are a lot of fun. Yeah.
What's not to like about a snail? Yeah. I quite like snails. My kids are currently in a phase of their lives where they play with snails, you know, like put them on their arms and stuff.
We'll have to send you some snails.
Please,
records.
Please. It kind of grosses me out, though. Yeah. On RN, I'm Patricia Carvelis. William Cashin from Future Islands is my guest in the drawing room. So I know you're based in Baltimore, but you spend a lot of time on the road. Sam Herring writes about the difficulties of that in the band's lyrics. How do you balance life on the road? Listening to long instrumentals.
I think we're trying to figure it out still. I mean, this tour that we're on right now is accidentally the longest tour that we've done since 2009, which is when I was still booking the band. We had a European tour coming up, and then this Australian tour, it got brought to our attention, and we were like, yeah, let's do it. And then not realizing that it would mean 8 straight weeks on the road, which is a little bit beyond the threshold of I think the mental capacity for being on the road. Just I think after 6 weeks, you start getting diminishing results being on the road. I think you just need to, at least I feel like we need as a band to go back home and recharge, even if it's just for like a week or two. So at this point, we're feeling pretty beaten down on the road.
I know. I'll give you a hug at the end of the interview, okay?
I think I appreciate it. Thanks. I think just having days off and sleeping in when you can, and especially when you're traveling between different time zones, like not being afraid to take a nap, because sometimes you're so determined to beat the jet lag and not sleep. I think that just ends up messing you up more and for longer. But I think I just got the cure for jet lag on this trip, actually.
Which is? With hello?
It's
breaking news.
It's fasting. Everyone I tell this to thinks I'm crazy, but I read about it online. It's you eat dinner the night before the flight, and then you don't eat. You just drink water and tea, basically, until breakfast time at your destination. And so that kind of pauses your internal
Of course, because
it pauses
when
your circadian
you eat
rhythm.
Is so crucial to digestion and sleeping patterns. Yeah. I'm sold. I'm gonna try that.
So I had dinner in London, and then I didn't eat until it was breakfast time in Perth. At that time, there were still 5 hours left in our flight to Perth, but that's when I started. That's when I woke up my circadian rhythm, and I have not really had any of the mental fogginess that usually comes with the brutal trip down here. So I recommend it for anybody, any jet setters listening.
I love it. So William, we're about to hear Ran, the first single off The Far Field. What's the story behind this song?
We started writing The Far Field at a beach house at the Outer Banks of North Carolina in the dead of winter. So we had one neighbor that was in the house next to us, but other than that, there was nobody. And so at nighttime, it was just completely pitch black, just the stars. And from the living room, you could see the ocean out of the window. And we basically, we'd wake up every morning, have coffee and just start writing songs, just start jamming all day for about a week. And Ran is one of the songs that came from that initial writing session. I don't know. When we play it live, Sam says that this is a song of 1,000 shows and 1,000 nights on the road. And 2,000 nights on the road.
Let's hear it and hear if we can hear that in it. This is Future Islands with Ran. That was Future Islands with Ran, and William Cashin from the band is my guest in the drawing room. So whenever I have a musical guest in, and you are a musical guest, do you like that description?
Yeah, I'll take it. Yeah.
Musical guest. I always ask them to choose a song to introduce us to. What have you chosen?
So I chose a song by I think it's a band called Mariah from the early 80s in Japan. I first heard about them. I was at this record store in Baltimore called the True Vine. They always have a really good collection of and selection of just out there world music, noise, off the beaten path kind of records. And our buddy Jason, who runs the store, when I went in, he said, "William, have you heard this record? Like, it sounds like, I feel like Future Islands is influenced by this record." And he played it for me, and I'd never heard it before, but we totally fell in love with it. And
so you couldn't really be influenced by something you hadn't heard, though, right?
Yeah, we hadn't heard it yet, but we ended up being influenced by it because we all heard it and got really into it. So the song that I chose is the first one I heard. It's called Shinzo no Tabira. And I believe the lyrics are, I think they go between, from what I've read, they go between Japanese and Armenian. And you can look up the...
Wow.
The record comes with...
What a mix.
Yeah, it's crazy. It comes with the translation of the lyrics into English with the reissue that I got. And the lyrics are really beautiful. And, when you read the translation. And this is also... This is not the first time that people have come to us and said, "You must be influenced by this band." Like, for example, when we played our first U.S. tour, we got a review from... Our show at this DIY space in Denver that compared us to, they said that seeing us made them think what it must have been like to see OMD on the Dazzle Ships tour. And we had heard OMD, but we'd never heard Dazzle Ships. And so later on that tour, we bought Dazzle Ships, and that record ended up being a huge inspiration for our second record in Evening Air. So, but I wouldn't say Mariah was a huge inspiration for The Far Field, but me and Garrett, especially, are really feeling this record.
Can't wait to hear it. Hey, thanks for coming in, William.
Thanks. And if any of you guys know a band that you think we are probably influenced by, tell us, because we probably don't know who they are, and we'll be influenced by them in the future.
I love that. Suggestful influencing. I love it. William Cashin from Future Islands has been my guest in the drawing room, and the band's latest album is The Far Field.
I think everyone should buy The Far Field.
Everyone should.
You'll
Everyone.
Love it.
Everyone should.
Yeah. And thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for coming in. Now let's have a listen to the song of choice. This is Mariah with Shinzo no Tabira.